It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Hello and welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. A lot of stuff going on this week. Wow. Why hasn't that ever happened before? Half the world is falling apart. The Trump administration is ripping apart at its seams. We have a former Trump campaign staffer making all the news by going on TV, possibly drunk, and making a complete jackass of himself. We have totalitarians taking over all around the world, not just in America. Or, as Fox News puts it, have you seen those Hillary Rodham Clinton emails lately? Anyway, we are celebrating, thank you for joining us, we are celebrating the 1 year anniversary of Forward Nation Radio from this past week. We have been on for a year, thank you very much, and thanks to our loyal viewers, which means we have outlasted almost the entirety of the Trump administration's staff and the Trump cabinet. I don't know, just being compared to the Trump staff and the Trump cabinet doesn't sound like a good thing. But we're still here, we're still sharing the news and our opinions on the news with you from our desk in our new studio. This desk, this nice desk. Yeah, still bugging me. Sorry. You know, Damien, I gotta talk to our... It's a respect issue, Damien. I know. It's a perfectly nice desk. It is. It's a perfectly nice desk. We get along very well with this desk. But it's a respect thing, okay?
You don't like the desk.
I like the desk. I do like the desk. It's not a $31,000 desk, though. If Ben Carson gets to have a $31,000 desk on the taxpayer's dime... It's a matter of respect. I think I should get a nicer desk.
So what you're saying is that we need taxpayers.
I'm saying no, because we're liberals. We're progressives. We would treat the taxpayers better. That's not fair. We need business people. We're happy to screw them. To you, perhaps our future sponsors. No. It's just 30. Our desk is like $31,000 less expensive. This is Ben Carson, right? It's no longer okay in polite company to say, it's not brain surgery, because apparently you could be an idiot and be a brain surgeon, we've learned, the guy running HUD. So if he gets to have a $31,000 desk, I think I should get to have a $31,000 desk. I do. I think I'm worth it. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, looking at it this way, at least there's consistency if you're going to go ahead and have an administration that takes... first class trips everywhere.
You know what? Don't go back down that first class trip path, okay? Because I'm gonna raise that issue again too. My first class trips are driving myself home after the show, okay? I want some first class trip. Why don't we have some live shows in Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Beijing, wherever?
We can't even afford two pairs of socks.
Don't give me that we can't afford thing, Damien. Ben Carson used the federal government. The Republican tax cut has just put them an additional $1.5 trillion in the hole. I realize we don't have any money, but that puts us way ahead of the federal government.
Yeah, but I think for the audience to really be able to understand how poor we are, they would need to take a look at our sock issue.
Don't go there again. Okay, it's the brilliance of your host, who by the way has lost his ability to move the outline. Anyway, someday we're going to have a behind the scenes at Forward Nation Radio show, and then you will get all these insider jokes.
I say put it right up on the desk.
Anyway, put it right up on the desk. You're the production guy. There we go. There's the famous right foot. Okay. Seriously, if they had made the movie My Right Foot, I would be Daniel Day-Lewis right now. Instead, they went with the left foot, and it was Daniel Day-Lewis who won the Academy Award and has gone on to fame afterwards.
Sequel?
Many of you don't know this.
Sequel.
Viewers, those who haven't spoken to me personally, my right foot becomes the next one.
There you go.
I have a little bit of an outline here that I use, and I actually scroll. You may have noticed, our longtime viewers, that I no longer reach across to change to move it with the mouse. I move it with my toes. So that's the shock joke. Anyway, so here we are. We're being silly. It's been a year. We figure we can get a little bit silly on our anniversary show. What has happened since we started at Forward Nation Radio? Well, as I pointed out, we've outlasted much of the presidential administration. We have avoided indictment, which also distinguishes us from many in the presidential administration. Since we started, we have been eclipsed by a presidential lie more than 2,000 times since we started this show. Since we've started, the president has told a lie after us more than 2,000 times, and we keep going. Anyway, looking ahead to the future, the question again is, can Generation Z promote the change that we need, particularly in our gun laws? State of Florida Senate just passed a gun bill saying to the students, see, we did what you wanted us to do, to which the students responded, this shit is not what we wanted you to do. We wanted you to do a bill that wasn't written by the NRA. This bill is a compromise. It will not, if it's enacted, it will not allow teachers to carry concealed handguns in school, which will really put them in a bad situation when a fight breaks out between teachers and everybody else at the school. Custodians, librarians, counselors, who are all going to be allowed and trained to carry guns. That's compromise, Florida style. That's we heard you, Florida style, as long as you work for the NRA. I'm disappointed because if you watched their show last week, we were kind of looking forward to being able to pack heat in the classroom. In fact, I had some questions about that because, frankly, I don't think a gun was enough. I spoke to you, Damien, for a while after the show, and I'm sorry, my father has an old hand grenade from the war. I think that if you have multiple shooters, like a Columbine situation, one gun wouldn't do it. I think teachers need to be able to bring hand grenades.
If the argument's going to be that you need to protect yourself from the government, then you should have rocket launchers.
I think we should, breaking into schools. The government presumably is not breaking into our schools, but if they're breaking into our schools, we need more than just a gun to defend ourselves. We're going to need, you're right, rocket launchers.
Shrapnel.
Absolutely.
Shrapnel flying everywhere.
You know
what it is.
Flak jackets.
Well, we need to have bulletproof backpacks, which I heard a company actually increased their profits, who's now selling bulletproof backpacks. Went up about 30%, I think was the figure in sales after the shooting.
There are a couple of things that just sort of capture the zeitgeist or capture the moment. Okay, a company selling bulletproof backpacks to kids for school whose stock goes up dramatically. This isn't even funny anymore. This is really pathetic. I was going to finish with all these jokes about, it's not a discussion anymore about should we arm teachers. It really is just a question of how much could we arm teachers? Like, what could we get? But bulletproof backpacks, that really just puts a damper on the whole discussion, doesn't it? Anyway, also big news this week, of course, President Trump declared a trade war. I've been asked in all my classes, what do you think about the wisdom of a trade war? And I said, first of all, it was done by President Trump. So wisdom? Look, the idea of imposing trade sanctions is not a ridiculous idea. As a general proposition, we're going to accept the fact that globalization is occurring, and for the most part, it will shake out to the benefit of the world because it promotes efficiency. I've argued, as Hillary Clinton has argued, as reasonable people tend to argue, that if globalization is going to happen, what a civilized society does is provide for the people who get caught in the middle. Many of us benefit tremendously from globalization, both in the inexpensiveness of the products that we buy and the opportunities that it affords. If we survive on our capital, if our money makes money, in other words, if we're wealthy, we benefit tremendously from globalization because our money can move around the world to wherever it is most valuable at the push of a button. But some people are caught in the middle. If all of watermelon growing moves to Guatemala, then watermelon growers and the people who own the businesses of growing watermelons in America are going to get caught in the middle. So what do? A civilized society helps them through the crisis. Now that's when globalization is working properly. When it's not working properly, you have countries cheating. So there is a patina of sense to what Trump has done. The patina of sense is, if China is cheating, then it is reasonable for America to respond. If American businesses move abroad because of competitive advantages, through resources, climate, whatever, better infrastructure, because America's falling apart. Don't get me started on that. I did mass transit all weekend, and don't get me started on that. What a third world country we are when it comes to transit, for instance, and our ports, et cetera. If businesses move because opportunities are better abroad, that's fine. If businesses move because people or the environment or something else is being exploited abroad, if US laws are being evaded abroad, including tax laws, then that's inappropriate, and that shouldn't be happening. American businesses can move abroad for better climate. They can't move abroad because they get to hire slaves. And so to the extent that China has been cheating, reasonable people should be sitting down negotiating with China some kind of end to the cheating or some kind of reasonable sanctions to respond to that. But this is President Trump. So let's not get caught up in the fact that in a perfect world, the idea of some kind of trade sanctions could be reasonable. Or, as our commander-in-chief said, trade wars are good and easy to win. They're not. But does anybody think, under any circumstances, that this is what prompted President Trump to start a trade war? President Trump started a trade war in a hissy fit. He was mad at his economic people for not kissing his ass quite enough. He was mad at John Kelly for not kissing his ass enough and getting rid of Jared. And he was mad at Jared for getting caught. So he takes it out on the world by reaching out to his base, the base that could be counted upon to applaud rapturously when Donald Trump throws them red meat. Trade war with China, he gets the applause, the adulation he needs from the people he needs it most from, the people who know absolutely nothing. This is not a way to run the United States government. Becoming unglued, as everyone's describing it, and lashing out. We should, I guess, be happy. We were all afraid that in a hissy fit, Donald Trump would start a war. He has. We're all still alive. That's the good news. The problem is, if this war doesn't give him what he wants, now he's demonstrated a willingness to start a war because of a hissy fit. And it's not funny again anymore. Republicans are aghast at the idea of a trade war. It's their constituents who are making money by moving their stuff to China, by utilizing Chinese labor and Chinese firms. They're aghast. The whole idea of government interference in the free market. But thus far, President Trump has remained pretty steadfast in his resolve, his determination to... You owe me a dollar. Okay, I did resolve, steadfast, and determination, and Trump in the same sentence without cracking up. I believe that our agreement is you owe me a dollar. Okay, yes, I couldn't maintain it after that, but President Trump has remained steadfast at least until tomorrow, today, whatever. By the time you guys get to watch this, this will all be a thing of the past, I'm sure. Anyway, speaking of steadfast in their resolve and trade wars, other big news this week, Italy had an election. And the fascists won. Yay. What could possibly go wrong here? We've mentioned on this show several times, it's not inappropriate, it's not hyperbole to at least consider the fact that the last time we had a world economic situation as bad as what we just came through, A few years later, we had World War II, led in large part by a fascist Italy. Keep your eyes on the next German elections. This is starting to get nerve-wracking. China just did a great and wonderful thing. It made President Xi president for life, which President Trump responded by saying, it's great that Xi is a ruler for life, and joked about, maybe Trump should do the same thing. Ha ha, ha ha. I mentioned to my students in class, we're moving in the direction that we faced after the Great Depression. Unfortunately, with America on the wrong side. America will be with the Axis powers on this one. As the world separates into progressive, enlightened, thoughtful leaders moving us forward to a more open, tolerant societies, which many of us look at America and say, it's wonderful what's going on with a lot of the young people in this country, with rights for gays, transgendered, etc. The backlash has been a movement towards totalitarianism, repression, etc. And America is not leading the charge in favor of open, tolerant, democratic societies. We may be leading the charge in favor of the opposite. At the very least, we have lost any moral authority to speak out against heavy-handed dictators taking over around the world.
And this is a time where our military can't really do anything. They're actually relying on us to be able to be a part of movements, to be able to stop this march into all this nonsense.
You know, we talked last week about, with respect to guns, what an upside-down, bizarro world it is when Americans are looking to corporate America to save us from ourselves. And now we've been doing this pretty much since the beginning, since we started the show, the beginning of the Trump administration. We are looking at the United States military to be our leaders in fighting for peace. These are strange and troubling times, Damien and our viewers.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong, really? What could go wrong? What could go wrong? We did not talk last week because of the horrors that were happening then about the tax bill and its growing popularity. We would be remiss in going more than a week in discussing the latest manifestations of the theft of much of the U.S. economy. I joked, of course, beforehand about the U.S. government being in tremendous debt because of Republicans, and how that's typical of the way things work in America. Republicans take over the government, loot the country, Democrats come in and fix it, Republicans then come in and do some more looting, Democrats come in and fix it, Republicans do some more looting. Well, here we are with the looting to the tune of trillions of dollars. I said to my students, who is paying for these tax cuts for worthless billionaires? And the answer is, you are, with your future. That's what it means to put all these bills on the credit card. It is coming out of your future. Trust me, it's not coming out of rich people's future. It's going to come out of your future. Well, how have we seen that? The tax bill, which had 20-something percent approval ratings when it was in the news, has now passed the 50% approval mark. Why? Because it's been in the Fox News. It hasn't been in the regular news, which means the conservative propaganda has been lying about the tax bill, so people have no idea what the hell's going on. Well, here's some of the things that we've learned are going on. Companies reported more than $178 billion this month in stock buybacks. And about 2%, they say, of the tax breaks they are getting will be used for bonuses for workers. That's to mollify Trump and the Republicans and deceive the American public. Look, we gave a bonus. That's right, workers. You paid $1 million and as a result, you got a bonus. Or put another way, the owners of your company, through stock buybacks, raising the stock price and the people making these decisions, they bought themselves stretch Hummers. Don't feel bad. You're getting a beaten down old jalopy. Oh, and by the way, you're paying for both of them in the coming decades. not only your beaten down old jalopy, but the stretch Hummer that rich people have. Or put another way, the elite are taking you to dinner with them at the steak, at a steakhouse. You get to drink water and pay the bill. They get to eat the steak. And you're probably celebrating. Why? Because you watch Fox News. And you think that somehow this is good for you. Who's it good for? Warren Buffett just sent a letter to Berkshire Hathaway shareholders, noting that the company will get $29 billion this year. A private economic analysis, by the way, said Warren Buffett, for a change, is thinking too small. Berkshire Hathaway should be getting about $37 billion a year from the tax break. That's okay, though, because the real big news of the week, what should be the big news, except for the media blackout, is West Virginia teachers. At the time that we are going to tape, we don't go to tape. What do we go to? We don't go to disc. We don't go to tape. We go to something. I don't know. At the time we're doing this.
Digitized media.
Yeah, at the time we're going to digitize media. That just rolls off the tongue. At the time we're going to digitized media, West Virginia teachers are on strike for almost 2 weeks. Why? Because they're tired of getting dumped on. They're tired of getting other people's shit. Tax cuts for rich people. Trickle-down economics is trickling down to them in the form of no more money, but higher insurance premiums, paying for their own health insurance. And they finally had enough. Teachers in Oklahoma are starting to say the same thing and grumble. This is what should be covered. And this is what we're going to cover for as long as it goes on and whenever there's labor actions like this. Because these are the people who are getting screwed. These are the people whose future has come already. And the future is you're paying for other people's shit. The idea of trickle-down economics, the benefits don't trickle down, just the bill to pay for tax cuts for billionaires.
Classic IBG-YBG.
Classic IBG-YBG. We talked about this on a prior show and probably not enough. While most countries think to the future and invest, here we are back to the state of American infrastructure. Why is American infrastructure falling apart? China, on average, has been spending about 9% of its economy on investing in the future. Its schools, its railroads, its bridges, its tunnels, etc. It has high-speed trains. Europe has been spending 5-point-something% on average investing in its future. America has been investing just over 2% of its economy on its future. What have we been doing instead? We've been looting the country. Because who gives a shit about the future when you need to put fuel in your yacht today? And it all comes around. We think short term rather than long term. IBG, YBG stands for I'll be gone, you'll be gone, which was apparently floating around the financial industry when they were doing things that they knew were going to blow up in somebody's face and destroy the world's economy. Somebody would point out, wow, this product is going to blow up in somebody's face. And the response would be IBG, YBG. I'll be gone, you'll be gone. In other words, we're going to get our multi-million dollar bonuses this year and next year and the year after, as long as it goes before this blows up. Once this blows up, we're out of here. Who gives a shit what the hell happens after that? Welcome to America, land of the I got mine, Jack. Forget the future. What will be the impact of future services of the tax cut bill? Trump keeps expressing his great concern about opioid and opioid addictions. About 174 dead Americans every single day from opioid addictions. $1 trillion in economic losses. But we don't have any money to pay for any treatment. We're talking about getting rid of their health care, which will just make things worse. That's the Trump plan, get rid of health care. But that's okay, because the head of Trump's Council of Economic Advisors came out and said, yes, it's true. Businesses, just as has always happened in the past, and as liberals like David Leventhal have argued will happen again, businesses have been using these tax cuts to enrich their already rich owners. Stock buybacks and bonuses for the owners of the businesses. That's true. But gosh darn it, good times are just around the corner. Pretty soon, boy, those tax cuts are going to be used for great things. Or, as the original architects of supply-side economics are saying, supply-side economics, it's only been 40 years. Give it a chance. It's so close to working. Who's going to benefit from the tax cuts? Have you seen the Wyatt Coke video going around? Go take a look at that one. This utterly worthless, disgusting disgrace of a human being is the son of one of the pauper Kochs, Bill Koch, who only has about $2 billion. But since he doesn't work for a living, and he's going to get most of his money through inheritance, he's the guy who's really going to benefit from the tax cut. It's time to stop worshiping the wealthy. It's time to start worshiping decent people. It's time to spread the hashtag and the campaign message, hashtag no billionaires. Anyway, that's our quick show for this week. We're hunkering down for the snow. We hope you're all doing well through the snowstorm that hit the Northeast. Next week, we will have a follow-up on the latest in the Republican swamp. And the rest of what's been going on in the Russia investigation. Who knows? By then, maybe Jared will have been indicted. Oh, for shame. Anyway, like looking forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like what you heard, and speak Russian, please like us on Facebook. If you tweet, go ahead, tweet out good things of our show. Share our links if you can. And thank you very much for following us and for sharing us. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.